Are you sick of studying alone and have no idea where to start? Well, we have the perfect thing for you. If you can't join us in the Live Collective, we get it. Life happens. You can get our video bundles, which is the recordings of all of our collective classes, where we take notes with you, laugh with you, teach you everything that you need to know from the 5th edition task list. You can watch it on your couch, when you're in the gym, when you're in your car. Well, don't watch it when you're in your car, but you can listen. And we'll stay with you every step of the way to get you to pass this test. There is no more questions of how to start studying or what to do next. We tell you absolutely everything. So if you love us on the podcast, you're going to love us in the collective. Head over to www.studynotesaba.com and get your video bundle today.
It's behavior, bitches.
Hey guys, it's Liat
and Casey.
So I'm very excited about today's episode because this is someone who I follow on Instagram in our field, and I love the shit she's talking about, and it legit makes me crack up. But before we get to this guest, Casey, can you give us a review of the day?
Yes. All right. So this one came in from Lee Green 8. RBT to BCBA. I absolutely love this podcast. I actually had one of my BCBAs recommend this to me, and it's been a great journey. I'm currently an RBT and working my way to becoming a BCBA. This podcast definitely helps me understand the work I do in so many different aspects of life other than just with the clients I work with. Thank you guys so much for everything you do. Aww. That is amazing. Thank you, Lee, and I'm happy it's helping you outside of clients that you work with as well. That is one of our biggest goals.
Woo!
Thank you for leaving that. And if you haven't left one, go do it now. Love you. Mean it.
Seriously, go do it. And seriously, mean it. Okay. And love you, mean it. All right. So, Casey, can you tell us a little bit about our guest today?
I will. Yes. So, you might know her on Instagram as Behavior Shorty, but her name is also Carolyn Smith, and she is a New Englander born and raised. That's my girl. So am I. She's been in the field of ABA for a decade and a BCBA since 2015. She started Behavior Shorty as a way to disseminate compassionate ABA, call out the red flags, and apply ABA to everyday situations. ABA is everywhere after all. Sounds like we have a lot in common, Carolyn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited
to be here.
I'm so excited. Thanks for agreeing. And
yeah.
Can you tell everyone a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so I'm Carolyn, New Englander, born and raised, Connecticut girl. I just moved back to the area a couple years ago, though. I lived in South Florida for 11 years, and that's where I got my training in ABA. So I got my training in South Florida, got my master's down there, moved back up here, and I've been living here for 2.5 years working in the field. So it's way different in Connecticut than it is in Florida, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Are you at a clinic?
So I am in an in-home setting, but I also work with adults. So I work with a lot of group homes, and that's new. So I started within the past year working with adults, and I love it. I'm doing a lot of job training. I'm doing a lot of like independent living, helping group home staff with like behavior management. And I love it so much. It's like a different pace.
Yeah.
It's different than working with the littles. It's so different. I used to work in a clinic. Like back in the day, my training was in a clinic. Mm-hmm. But then I switched to the in-home setting, and I love the clinic, but I love in-home so much better. Just getting that interaction with everybody.
Yeah. I feel like in the in-home, there's so much more like generalization happening and mediation family and the community I love so much.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you're like a part of their family. It's so great.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what I saw Carolyn posting was, you know, I'm very into things that are relatable, hence all of Study Notes ABA and Behavior Bitches. And Carolyn was posting stuff in regards to her dating. And I was like, holy shit, yes, 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 yes. She had posted like actual ics that were like creepy and cringy on Hinge or whatever dating app it was, you could tell me. And we're going to talk about all of this. And something that we have in common is that we are both in our 30s, divorced, and swimming. I think the podcast topic needs to be like divorced in my 30s, dating. Fuck.
Yes. I mean, I've been divorced for, it'll be 3 years officially in November, but it'll be 3 years of me being like single, you know, and it's been wild. Like I got into the whole ABA and dating thing because of my divorce. And like now I'm, this is the first time I've been single since like 2013, right? So when I moved back to Connecticut, I was like, holy shit, it's the first time I've been single since 2013. I did not meet my ex-husband on the dating apps. I have no idea what these dating apps are. I go on them as a behavior analyst. I'm like, what is this shit? Like everything is just so, I'm just having so much fun analyzing everything. And that's what got me to like start posting stuff.
You know what? It's good that you have fun looking at it. Otherwise you cry, you know? It's like,
oh, I mean, I cry too, but I have to laugh. It's like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like these men on here are just so, what behaviors, like, why are these behaviors being reinforced? Like, I don't get it.
Well, we're going to do some analyzing today, which is exciting. And okay, so just so I get a little background to see how much we have in common. How old were you when you got divorced?
I was 32.
Me too.
Wow.
Oh my God. What a great year. What a ripe, ripe year.
32 starting over. I'm 35 now. So it's been a good 3 years.
Are you happier?
I'm so much happier.
Okay.
It took a while for me to heal, but like, you know, I talk about this on my page too, but I'm a survivor of domestic violence. So like that adds a whole other layer. Is divorcing your abuser just adds a whole other layer to the whole dating thing.
I don't want to sound dumb, but can you operationalize domestic violence? Is it necessarily physical or?
It's not necessarily physical. And that's what I talk about is like, for me, my abuser was a narcissistic abuse. That was the type of abuse that it was. So a lot of people think that domestic violence is like the physical side of it. Like what you see on Lifetime movies, right? Like the pushing and the shoving, the hitting. That's not what I experienced. I mean, you know, in the beginning, especially, it's not what I experienced, you know, a lot of manipulation behaviors, a lot of control, a lot of gaslighting, put downs, name calling. For me, it was a lot of the control. And that's one of the reasons why I got out of that relationship, because it just affected my mental health so bad. And that's why I got the divorce, because it's like, I obviously am not in a safe environment here.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, it's nothing.
Divorce is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, it's not. I was fortunate, like living in Florida too, that, you know, Florida has more lax laws when it comes to divorce. So it was like 6 weeks and we were divorced. So it was like really quick. Yeah. So it was like good for me with my healing, because I didn't have to like go through it for so long. It was just done within 6 weeks.
You didn't have to do like a mandatory like separation first?
Nope.
Or something?
Not in Florida.
It's so
That's
weird.
Florida.
Okay. Well, I've like blacked out a lot of like what I actually had to, like, you're kind of just like doing the next step one after another, but I don't actually like remember. Like if someone were to be like, Leah, what do you do to get divorced in Texas? I'd be like, I don't, like, I just did it. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Well, they expect you to like do all this stuff while you're in like the worst headspace ever.
I mean, after the divorce was hard because I still had to like talk to my abuser, because my stuff was in Florida. So I had to wait for it to come back. And like, that was a whole debacle in itself, because even though our divorce was finalized in November, I didn't get my stuff back until February of 2022.
Wow.
So from that time, I was still like in contact with him. But like I say, February 2022 was like the start of my fresh journey, because like got my stuff back and then here we go.
I mean, I had to stay in contact too for my stuff, except my stuff as a kid.
Which, lol.
No, I'm just kidding. Forever, I'm grateful for that. I'm forever grateful.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. You open your account. I'll open mine. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I mean, we could go either way. So I think maybe we start off with like a high P, where we go through and talk about some things that we've seen. I did a little bit pre-show Hinge phishing.
I have screenshots myself.
Okay.
I have my
Let's
whole
play
album.
War. Okay.
Okay.
We each put one thing up, and it's like yours is juicier, or mine is juicier.
And I'll pick.
Yeah, good idea. All
right, sounds good.
I don't have any yet.
Are you doing Hinge or Bumble or both?
I don't have Bumble.
You don't have Bumble? Girl, I have more success on Bumble than Hinge, honestly.
So matching law, do you like allocate more time there?
Well, Hinge, the response effort is a lot less because you're just swiping and like, Bumble, sorry. So Bumble is a lot less response effort because you can just swipe. Whereas
But is it Bumble where the girl has to send the message?
The girl has to send the message. So there's high response effort on the girl's end. However, I get more dates off of Bumble because I feel like the guys that respond to me and actually like engage in a conversation are more serious and intentional with actually wanting to date. The guys that are just like, yeah, everything's good over here and like not asking me any questions, I'm like, you guys don't give a shit. Like so it's good for me to weed out the ones that actually like care.
Does anyone use Match anymore? Like my aunt met on Match. Another friend met on Match.
No, I think people do use it. I literally don't know. I don't know. Do people use Match?
Carolyn? So my 53-year-old RBT uses Match.
So, okay, because it's kind of older.
It's the same shit, different app.
Yeah, okay.
Like, are they known for different things? Like, what Tinder has that name of being like, want to bang? But like, is
what about
that
the league?
The league?
Oh, to I pay like $400 a month? Expensive.
No, it's free.
No, well, it's free, but you only get like 5 people a day. I had my first match on the league after 6 months of being on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I had turned off my notifications. I'm like, this is the response number too high. I'm not paying $400.
To get more people.
Sorry.
Right.
To get more people when the same people are on Hinge and Bumble. Yeah. I literally go on the league and I'm like, because I'm in a smaller area. I'm like, I just saw you on Hinge. Like, why am I going to pay $400 to talk to you?
Also, like, the league is meant to be like more elite. Like, like, oh, like I'm successful, blah, blah, blah. It's like, number one, when I got on, I didn't even have to, I don't remember like having to show anything for it. Number two, it's a bunch of D-bags. Number three, like who says they're successful and what is, how are we measuring success? Do we have any sort of operational definition here? And yeah, that's all
I mean, it's supposed to link to your LinkedIn, but I've seen some people on them. Like,
maybe this was a very long time ago. Like this was like right after my divorce, just seeing what's out there. I've not been on the app since. I just re-downloaded it this second. I had to click because it had deleted itself. Okay. Woo. Let's go. Let's pull up war.
All right.
Time for war.
Oh, wait. Mine's a screenshot of a prompt.
But no one's going to see that.
Okay. What is read yours to me.
The prompt says, it's from Bumble. If I could eat only one meal for the rest of my life, it would be my partner.
Oh, my God. I actually like that.
Ew.
I'm a weirdo, though. I might not think it is weird.
That's a pro. Okay. Like, we're crying over this. You're like, this is great.
I'm like, nope.
That okay.
I feel like that's chivalrous.
That's chivalrous? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh okay. My God.
That, like, is that reinforced? I guess some girls, like, to you might click yes for that. Yes. For real? I'd be like, creep.
Hey, listen, when you, like, I get it. When I first got on the dating apps, when you're like going through a divorce, you're deprived of a lot of primary reinforcers. So if someone's putting out there that they will give you a primary reinforcer, like, hell yeah, absolutely, let's do it. But like now I'm just like, no, I don't need it. But hey, when I first got divorced, I probably would have been like, okay.
It's because of that like deprivation.
You need it. Like, you're deprived.
Like,
lonely,
it's like you take the bottom of the barrel. You're like, all right, right? Have a good time.
Just like.
All right. Okay, here we go. This picture.
Okay, I have like one.
Every picture they're showing, if anyone doesn't see what this is a guy. You could literally only see his elbow. And his entire face is covered with hair. But like, I can't even see what you look like. But I like your elbow. Okay, let's see yours.
I have a story behind this guy. I have a story behind him.
Okay, so this guy has a...
He looks like a Viking.
A Viking.
Wait, what the fuck? Is that a tattoo on his forehead?
So,
or like three greased down pieces of hair.
It's a tattoo.
I know this guy. I have a story.
Okay, go.
This is my brother's friend.
Oh my gosh.
He's liked me 5 times on Hinge. And I'm like, I text my brother. I'm like, your friend liked me again. And my brother's so disgusted. He's like, I can't go to his housewarming party this weekend. I can't believe he liked you. I'm like, your friends are so weird. Like, I...
wait. Is he also wearing... Does he have, like, 2 black eyes? Or, like...
It's, like, makeup.
Are all his pictures like that?
Pro wrestler Viking cosplay. That's what Alan said.
He looks Maybe you like. Could, yeah. like, play Viking in the bedroom.
Yeah. But like, I know that my brother's friends all go to like the, they all do cosplay. Oh. Not my brother, but his friends do. So like, this makes sense. And yeah, this is like, another to me picture on the outside, of him.
To me on the,
oh gosh, he's like laying like on a bar or something.
Santa and so my brother, has red hair.
My brother's like, yeah, some of our friends made his profile for him. I'm like, it's just... And I went to high school with him. I know exactly who this guy is. I'm like, oh my God.
Have you ran
You
into
see my brother in my profile. Why are you liking me? You know I'm like his sister.
Gross. Yeah.
All right. Next up. This is interesting. This guy, his job is librarian at library.
Riveting. Actually, I can't say that because my best friend's a librarian.
Is it, you have to like go to school for that or something, actually?
Yeah, my best friend has her like master's.
She has her master's degree in the Dewey Decimal System.
Actually, does she have an she has a bachelor's degree. She has like a certification. She makes good money. She works for the city.
Like, I guess if you like love reading, like that job, I literally would sit there and just bang my head on a wall. Like sitting in a quiet library all day, I'd be like,
Not be a good space for you.
No, lose my mind. I'm actually triggered by the app. I can't even go on to really look. It's like anytime it does, you're like, you know, you just like re-accept like, yeah, cool. I'm cool being alone. All right.
So this one is a prompt. It says, what if I told you that I'm 6'1", but I'm 6'2" hard?
Oh my God.
I'm 6'2" like, hard.
How do you get taller if you have a
No,
hard
maybe he's
target?
Talking about he's 6 inches. Millimeters below.
Yeah, because you don't get taller if your dick's hard.
No, I mean, that's a joke.
Okay.
Blah.
I thought that was the funniest thing.
Okay, here's one. This guy looks promising, okay? Number one.
Is he taking a shot?
He's just like drinking a drink. Okay, mm-hmm. That's his main picture. Oh, you can't see. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see it.
Then he put, this year I really want to trabajar.
Means, trabajar?
Like,
travel? To, oh, to work. Sorry.
I thought that's work.
It is.
Right, to work.
Yeah, to work. It's See, like, I'm drinking know. Here. This year I really want to work. Okay, so that's promising. That's good. Yeah, do you not work?
Yeah.
Do you want to work? Okay. Yeah, drop the drinks, go to work. I like it. Not for me. Swipe left.
There was one that was like, I'm weirdly attracted to girls on Lexapro. I'm like, hey, I'm right here.
90% of the population. Okay, what about this guy? The guy who's this year wants to trabajar. Also, this picture is so great.
Why is he wearing a full ski mask?
What is he going to rob, like a bank or something? Like,
like, I just don't get it.
Like, maybe that's what he currently does.
And so he wants to get a real job. I like that.
I sometimes see people and I look at it and I'm like, they look like they're going to kill me.
Yeah.
Swipe right. No, I'm just kidding.
What's up? It's Casey. And I know that those of you out there might have had some really shitty supervision. Guess what? You're not special. But Snava has now partnered with Tracker, which is a documentation system that allows you to easily track your progress through your training hours to become a behavior analyst. It helps you organize your restricted versus unrestricted hours, follow supervision guidelines, and adhere to the expectation of the board if ever audited. Yikes. We keep it all for you for the 7 years. Having all of this information in one place will make it easier for both you and your supervisor to have an easier time reviewing progress and making changes when needed, based on what you need to learn when training to become a BCBA. Using the guided task list within Tracker allows the supervisor and trainee to monitor progress during the entire supervision experience, making life easier and tracking not suck. So head over to fieldworktracker.com and see how Snaba has teamed up to make supervision not suck. Love you, mean it.
I love like the butt rubs when guys, so this one is like, what makes a relationship great is bullying and butt rubs.
Bullying?
Cool.
That's like terrible.
Yeah, bullying and butt rubs.
Wow. Bully, bully.
Wait, bullying and butt rubs?
Yeah.
No, I think a good thing when people have it on their profile is like a flirt to roast ratio. Like you should be able to roast whoever you're with, but not bully. Yeah. But bullying is like a different vibe.
Bullying is triggering for me.
Bullying and roasting can kind of be the same.
Roasting is not the same as bullying.
Because you're like planning it?
No, roasting, you don't plan. It just like happens on the spot. So like when you're hanging out, you'd be like, you know,
call someone out.
Like you know things like, for example, I gotta think. Roasting, I might be like if we're good enough friends, our entire friendship is also roasting.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, cool, Casey. You think that rock's hot too? Because like I know that you think everyone's hot, right? Like yeah. So it's like I could say it, I could joke, but it's a rock on the floor.
Right.
Okay. You follow?
Yeah, I get it. I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you guys seen that TikTok, like the Where TikTok, where they're like, he might be gay. Where? He lives with his parents. Where?
No.
No, there's like a TikTok where it's like these, someone's like calling out all these guys with like red flags. And the girls are like, where? He's not emotionally available. Where?
No.
They'll literally take anything.
Yeah, my friend says to me, yours would be, he has a pulse. Where?
Oh, that's a roast.
I'm like, okay. That is a roast. I just found this picture. When your dick print gains strong, but you want her to like you for your mind. And it's a picture of gray sweatpants with like a skirt in front of it.
What in the world?
Wait, read, Lucy. When your dick pic gains strong, but you want her to like you for your mind. So you put like a skirt over your gray sweatpants. Okay.
Don't want to see the bulge. All right.
If you have to talk about it,
yeah.
Chances are you're probably engaging in some lying behavior. Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What about when the person's pictures are like every photo, all like five are taken in the same place? Like, like it's him sitting in the same seat in his car.
Oh my God. Same outfit, different poses.
Oh my God. What is that? Wild. This guy looks like he needs to take a piss. Like a,
is he a 2-year model? Old
holding their crotch. Is he a model?
Is he a model?
I don't know. Looks like it says douchebag to me.
He's with his mom. That's kind of cute.
Not modeling. Not when he's like naked holding his crotch.
Okay. You know, when I'm on my nearby on Hinge, it's like five people. And then it just like, you ran out of everybody nearby. And I'm like, great.
Because you live in such a small place, right?
I live in a smaller area. I have to expand my radius like 60 miles. And my friends get mad at me because they're like, you're in my radius. You're in my area. I'm like, we literally don't have the same taste in men. So it doesn't matter.
Like, there is no competition.
There is no competition.
Wait, did you date at all in Florida?
Before my ex-husband, yeah, in my early 20s. That was like when you would meet men in the wild before the dating apps. I would meet them at the bars downtown. So I dated. Yeah, that was wild. Early 20s. Here's one that we can operationally define. I'm looking for a medium pretty woman.
Wow, that's a good goal.
What? How do you operationally define that?
Medium? Like medium t-shirt?
I don't know. Everyone's definition of beauty is different.
Here, next person wrote, I wish more people knew that your 40s will most likely be your last full decade of vigorous sex.
Positive.
Cool.
Is that stressful?
It's just weird.
He's like letting you know, like,
that's so weird.
I think he's using that as like an MO to like try get girls to sleep with him. Like, just so you know, yeah, you're running out of time. After this, your sex life's about to go downhill. I feel like that would like stress you out.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a threat. So have you been on any actual dates from the apps?
Yeah, I have actually. So I took like a 3-month break from dating, where I was like meeting guys on the apps, but I'm like, they're all just like, meh. I had to cancel some dates because like I had one guy, actually, we had a date set up, and then he messaged me to tell me that like a picture I sent of him, like I sent him a picture of me in a hoodie. And he said that he touched himself to that picture of me. And I was like, bro, we haven't even like met in person yet.
Wicked gross.
And I was just like, I gotta cancel this
date. Wait, before you even went out with him?
Before we even went out, like before you even met him in person.
What?
Yeah.
I am literally, and can I tell you my problem in the dating world? And my best friend told me this too. My other best friend, not you, Case. Don't get upset. Don't.
I'm
don't.
Like, who? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, why do you feel like you have to personally fix all these people that you go out with? So, like, I'll go out with someone, right? And I'm like, I just want you to, like, well, I'm trying to think of some things I do. I'd be like, first of all, I friend zone people, like, fast. Like, yeah, it could be on the first date and I'll be like, I think I know someone who would be great for you. Or like, you should date someone who's like, you know, like not super intelligent, but like, you know, not someone who has an opinion of their own, you know, someone who'd probably cook and clean for you. Like, it's not going to be me, but like, or like, you know, it seems like you don't really have a lot of confidence. You really should like lean into the fact that you're a doctor, you know,
or I think we really need to take you shopping because this outfit's not working for you. So I can help you in that department, but definitely not.
I have done this is like, no, but I like, and I do it and I genuinely mean it nice. Oftentimes it's like you have a lot of good things going
here.
You
have a lot of potential.
Yes. You're like 6 foot something. You could, but like, you can't be wearing these running shoes with jeans. Like, it's just, you know, so then. I don't know if it's like the BCBA in me or the.
It is. It is. I was the same.
I'm like, you could be slaying, you know, not with me, but.
Yeah. I used to always think like, am I a good fit for them? Like, how can I change them to like me? But now I'm just like, no, are they a good fit for me? If they're not, bye. Changing that mindset. But yeah. Some of my behaviors I engaged in when I first started dating are so different than now. Because, like, when you're fresh out of a divorce, like, you're so vulnerable. And you guys know this. Like, you're so vulnerable, right? Like, you – especially for me, just – I was with my ex for 8.5 years. I didn't know anybody else, right? So I'm like, oh, my God, I have to start my life over again. And I did not know what I wanted. And I just accepted anything. Like, guys who are like, what's your snap? Oh, I'll take it. Here's my snap. But now, you know, I kind of went through. I actually did have a healthy relationship after my divorce, which was really good. Yeah. And we were together for like a year. And I think that like healed me a lot. But now that I'm like out of that relationship and I've been single for like 7 months now, it's a different, very different approach to dating these days. My behaviors are a lot different.
See, like for me, I felt like you said that you felt more like vulnerable after. Mine was like, wow, I am never doing that again to where like if something is not great, like I'm not even like near this. So like if I like even for like a second, I'm like, to me, and it's also, I mean, I think like my MOs are different. For example, like I could not just be like, I need sex. So I'll just like go be with someone. Like I'd rather like
conversation.
Yeah. Or like, I'd rather like if the person doesn't like once you go through something and you're like, you're so unhappy somewhere that I'm like, if I don't know if I'm more like pickier now or which like, I don't know if that's good to be when, I don't know. First of all, I've heard there's like two eras. So like dating, like this is my advice for younger people. Your college years are really important, okay, in your early 20s, because that's when just looking at straight up like supply is higher. You could like look at what's out there, find like a someone semi-normal. I'm finding now dating, let's say in your 30s, you're like, fuck, is this what's left? Right? Mm-hmm. But then I heard, I mean, if you look at statistics of divorce, maybe people aren't there yet, right? And so maybe there's more good people coming to the market. I don't know.
I mean, it's a waiting game. I'm matching with a lot of younger folks these days. I hear that like guys like older women now. So I'm matching with a lot of guys who are like a few years younger than me. I never like dated anybody younger than me. So it's kind of weird. But
how does that work though? I feel like guys are already more immature than girls. No offense, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's funny because like a lot of the younger guys, like they vary. Like some of them like own their own houses and have their own jobs and are very secure in themselves. And then some are like, oh, I still live at home. And so it's just like it's been very – but then I also like dated 36-year-olds or guys my age that didn't know what they wanted. So it's like
– I think I've seen that. And I think that's a huge thing for me. Like looking at the dating situation, like – I feel like in my 33 years, or especially maybe in the past few years, like I've done a lot, like working on myself, like professionally, this and that. But as soon as I go out with someone and it's like, I don't really know what I want to do. And like, we're like, I'm like, I'm not
supporting you.
Like, I'm not like, yeah, I'm not like looking for another child. I'm sorry. Like, I have a perfect child. I'm not looking for another child to take care of. Like, you either offer something here or buy.
You want someone to compliment
financially.
Your life.
I'm not saying just financially. I'm saying like just in any regard.
Like you want someone to compliment your life, not complicate it.
Beautiful.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So now looking at the fact that we're all like behavior analysts talking about this, I feel like we're looking at the dating situations and dating apps differently. What role do you think behavior analysis plays for you in dating dynamics?
Well, I think for me, it's like understanding behavior. So like understanding, and it took a while for me to get this, but like what I mean by understanding behaviors is maybe like communication behaviors, for example, right? So like it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Like if someone has a consistent scheduled communication with me, and then it all of a sudden that response latency increases. I'm going to know
end,
that they
on
lost,
your end?
On their end. I know that they've probably lost interest because based on my data and based on my history with these guys, like if they lose interest, then the texting decreases. So for me, it's like I kind of already have a heads up because I'm a behavior analyst. So I'm analyzing this behavior, not intentionally, but unintentionally. I know like, hey, I know you've probably lost interest because you're not texting me as much. And
do you say something?
You know, I used to, and then I just was like, I'm not giving that any like reinforcement.
Yeah.
I kind of like the best thing that I've done for myself is instead of getting upset about it is like, I've had guys who will like stop texting me and then they'll text me and be like, sorry, I've been distant. I don't think this is going to work out. I'll just say, okay, wish you the best. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's like that non, what are they? It's like when you give that attention, but it's like non-reinforcing attention.
Like neutral.
Just like, okay. Neutral attention.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks. I didn't like you anyways, and you have a small dick. Bye. Totally neutral. Totally neutral. Yeah. No. And I mean, also, you know, from learning histories in dating, you could see if someone, you're like, oh no, I know where this one's going. I've been out with someone like this before who started asking me for X and it led to here, you know? So like you kind of like come into contact. Yeah. Those red flags that you've come in contact with those antecedents before. And you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah. When you see a pattern, it's like, and also like, what's it, prediction? Like you see a pattern, you could predict something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So I've seen you on your Instagram put a lot of things for people that they could ask their own questions. What kind of questions do people ask you
So a lot of the questions I get, I actually wrote them down. So a lot of the questions I get are like, I'll get people asking me like, hey, I have this guy and like, you know, we've been dating for like a month now. Like, when should I make it exclusive? And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm not a dating expert, but I think that you need functional communication. Like, the only way to know is to ask and to communicate your needs, right? So I remember when I dated my ex-boyfriend, not my ex-husband, my most recent ex-boyfriend, after like a month of dating, I was like, hey, I really enjoy what we have. Like, I am not dating anybody else. And he said, I'm not dating anybody else either. And I said, okay, are we exclusive? Yes, we're exclusive. Cool. Easy. That's all it is.
I mean, no, that's that makes sense.
Yeah. But I think that there's that negative reinforcement that maybe we avoid that communication because of our history of like being punished. Like, we'll ask for that. And then they'll say no. Because the guy that I dated after my divorce, I dated this guy for like 3 months. He was cheating on me the whole time, by the way. And I should have known, because when I was like, hey, like, we've been dating for a month now, like, what are we? And he's like, oh, well, I'm just going with the flow. And I should have known that. And I think coming into contact with those contingencies, I'm like, oh, okay, like, these responses make sense. And now I know what kind of responses I'm looking for. And also, how can I change my behavior to get what I want and get what I need? It's actually just telling and asking and setting boundaries for myself. If they don't want a relationship, believe them.
Like, don't force it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of the time believing what you when someone tells you something, it's not like, and I do think a female approach is being like, okay, I'm going to fix them. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, they didn't want anything, but they never meant me. Right. And then.
But like being confident in that, like, I know I'm awesome. Someone's going to think I'm just as awesome. But maybe someone else doesn't think I'm awesome, and that's fine. Maybe they're not ready for all of this, but maybe they want someone different. Maybe they want someone who's a little bit more subdued and someone who's not a business owner, right? Like, I've gotten that where I've been told I'm intimidating because I own my own business. Or I have my Instagram page. People are like, oh, it's so intimidating. They see my dating content. They're like, oh, you intimidate me. I've had guys say, like, you work too much. Okay, well, I don't want someone that's going to say that. I want someone who supports that. So now it's gotten to where I'm not trying to change myself for somebody. I'm going to make sure that, you know, these are my non-negotiables. Do you fit that? Do you fit into my life in that? So like, if you think that I work too much, then you're not the person for me. But if you're going to support my career, cool. That's a big green flag for me.
I 100% agree. Get on board or get out the way. You know what I mean? That's my thing. Why don't we read some of the questions that you get in your inbox?
So, you know, sometimes I get asked, like, how soon is too soon to do the deed? How soon is too soon to have sex or to be intimate with somebody? And I actually asked that question on Behavior Shorty, and I had a poll, and most people said, who cares? Mm-hmm. And it's actually, for me, I agree with that, because if the motivation is there, they're going to want to keep seeing you. Mm-hmm. Like, I have friends that slept with their husbands on the first date, and then I have friends that waited. So it doesn't matter, like, you know, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I personally don't, but that's just me.
I think there is something in building the MO in some capacity, like in getting to know someone before sex is involved, like in just that. I'm not saying that it's like, oh my God, I can't believe someone would do that. But it's like, get to know someone for who they are, because I do think as soon as sex is involved, you're not thinking as clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless you know, like, because I have friends that are all about the one night stands and they have no shame. And, you know, listen, we've all done it. But you have to, like, detach yourself from that and know that you're probably going to get ghosted the next day and just expect that. But for me, it's like, if I am intimate with somebody and it's a continuous thing, I want to make sure they're not intimate with someone else. And that's actually another question I get is, like, you know, the unprotected sex. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a dating expert. I don't know the answer to this question, but people ask me, like, well, what do you think? Like, I'm having, you know, I'm being intimate, I'm having sex with this guy, and I'm worried he's having sex with other girls. So then what behavior do you need to change? Right? So, like, maybe you need to establish that exclusivity or say, I'm not going to have sex until we're exclusive. Because then you bring in the concerning part of like diseases and STDs and all that stuff, especially if you're not using protection. So.
Yeah, I'm like petrified of that stuff.
Yeah. I also have had people ask me like, hey, like this guy hasn't texted me and we're supposed to hang out and it's like 9 o'clock at night.
No, that's like you. That's like a hard no. Like,
yeah. At that point, I'm like, if they're not texting me by 6 p.m., like I'm already in my pajamas. I have like
too late. Like that means that I don't even like know what the plan is and I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I have a ritual every Friday that I started like since I took a break from dating. I mean, I'm dating again now, but like when I took a break, I mean, Friday nights, I get my pajamas after work and I order sushi. And like, if you're going to text me at like 7 o'clock, no, I'm in my pajamas, I'm watching some trash reality TV and I'm eating sushi. So no, I come first.
I want to do that tonight.
Yeah. Oh, I'm on vacation right now too. So I'm just probably going to do that a lot sooner than 6 o'clock.
You're on vacation? Where are you on vacay?
Staycay. I'm home.
Oh, on vacation. Oh, like I thought you meant like you're on a trip. I'm like,
are you? I'm like, on staycation. Yeah, I'm like, all my clients are off this week. So I'm like, I'll be off this week. I'm not going to be working anyway. So I'm cleaning. That's what I'm doing. I'm cleaning. Because when you're 35, you clean on your staycation.
It's so funny. Now that I live alone, I don't know if it was that there was two people there. So things were getting done. But every day I'm like, how did I make such a mess?
Right?
And where I'm a single person living alone. And I am like looking around like, I can't believe I have to clean this. And it's like a tiny apartment. And I'll be like, all right, like do the
your bath. Dog maybe?
Yeah.
No, it's like dishes and just like trash that I accumulate as a single person. I'm like, I didn't take my trash this much when I lived with my husband. Like,
yeah.
Maybe he took the trash out.
Probably.
Well, I took the trash out when I divorced my husband. So
there you go. I just got it.
Yep.
Guys, you're giving me a lot of hope. I just want to say that.
I know. Casey's been very quiet this episode.
Yeah.
She's going through it currently. I mean, and I know we're scaring you of what's out there, but I truly do have belief that, like, what's meant to be will be. So, like, whether – no matter what – I mean, you got to – the good thing nowadays is you don't have to kiss a lot of frogs to meet someone because, like, you could just swipe through the frogs, you know?
Yeah. And you don't really need a man, right? Like, if you want a kid, you can – I have a friend that's fostering right now, and her plan is to adopt her foster child, right? Like, you can do IVF on your own. Like, you don't need a man. Like, I want a kid, but I don't need a man to have a kid. I think that when I got divorced, like, I went through this whole pattern of, like, I'm unlovable. No one loves me. I'm never going to find love again. And, like, it was, like, 6 months of me just trying to prove myself to people that weren't giving me the time of day because I just wanted – I was deprived for so long of that primary reinforcement, not intimacy, but, like, the affection and the attention and, like, physical touch and all that stuff. Like, I was so deprived of that. So anyone who was giving it to me, I was like, yes, I was taking it. But then it took me, you know, a couple of years to really fall in love with myself again and go into the self-love journey. And now it's just making dating so much easier for me because I'm detaching myself from the outcomes. I'm not thinking like, okay, this guy, this could be it. This could be it. No, I'm just going to have fun. And then if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Because we're in a world now, well, in my state where I can have, you know, children and not have to worry about it on my own. You know, so I don't need a man for that. And that's the beauty.
I think that also comes into a lot of society's conditioning as well, which, like, for example, I think the reason that a lot of people don't want to get divorced or, like, for me, it was like being in like the Jewish community. It's, you know, like I'm in like a religious Jewish community. It's like, you don't see it that much, you know? And I'd be like, oh my God, like, I can I do this? Can I not? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd feel embarrassed. Like, people would see me out or, like, you know, whatever it is. And then I, like, and I remember I told Casey this one time. I was like, dude, I, like, finally, like took a turn. And it was, like, my attitude shifted. And it was, like, for every person who's, like, judging me, there's got to be two who are jealous that, like, I got the fuck out. You know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, how many people are – unhappy. I'm not saying there's not happy relationships, but like, it's like a boss ass move. Like if you're able to get out of something.
I can relate because I grew up Catholic. So like in the Catholic Church, like that's kind of frowned upon, and I'm no longer practicing Catholic. Like no one in my family is anymore, but we have friends, like family friends that are. And I remember going through my divorce, like people would just be like, oh, why? Like they would judge me. And, you know, I would explain to them why. And they're like, oh, okay. Like that's fine in God's eyes, you know, like, but it's still like, it's hard because when you're conditioned to think like you have to accept the good in people no matter what, especially with the way I was raised with my religion, like you have to accept the good no matter what. The bad's going to come like with a reason, right? It's like, I think that's part of the reason why I stayed so long, but also the fear and that negative reinforcement of like avoiding what I was afraid of losing, which is like independence, financial independence. Like I was so afraid to divorce my husband because I didn't think I would be able to make it on my own. I didn't think I had the money to make it on my own. I didn't think I could live on my own. I didn't think that I could do anything on my own. But also part of that abuse was that he made me believe that. So when I finally got out of that relationship, I lived with my parents for 2 months. And that was hard because I'm like, oh, here I am, like rock bottom living with my parents. But then now I live in this townhouse that I rent. You know, I got a new car. I have a great job now. I'm a director at my company. I have my own business. Like everything's kind of come together for me. And it's like, you know, I kind of proved to myself that I did it. I fucking did it. I got out and I fucking did it. And who gives a shit what people think? I remember my gynecologist saying to me when I went for my annual a couple years ago when I first got divorced, and she's divorced too. And I told her and she goes, congratulations. And I'm like, thank you. Like, no one congratulates anybody these days on these
kinds of decisions. I do. And if, once you've been through a divorce, you'll congratulate as opposed to, like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't say sorry. I'm happy.
Yeah. Or I'm so sorry that you were in an abusive relationship. No, don't be sorry. I'm so happy I'm out of it. I'm so happy I'm divorced.
Yeah. Totally. It's just, it's the hard part I do think is like kind of rewiring your brain on different things to like not take the different things out, you know, personally. If someone is like, you know, it's like, okay, something's wrong with you and different things like that. Or I think that our society as well, I mean, I was talking like on a personal level, like in the religious aspect that I felt, but like our society as well has, and I think I've spoken to Casey about this before, has like placed this, it's almost like you're a winner if you're married, right? Like that's like the ultimate outcome. It's like you won a gold medal in the Olympics, but like, is it like, or is that just the way society's put it? Because like, yes, if you have a beautiful relationship and like a beautiful marriage and family and whatever it is, like, yes, that's awesome. But is it marriage specifically, or you got to operationally define like what kind of marriage? Because just being married and like unhappy as shit is no like reward that I want. But it's hard because like we were conditioned to being like, have you met life's check marks? Like, have you checked off like the different stages of life to show that you've gone through it, right?
It's interesting that you say that because I had this conversation with my mom and, you know, I've been going to therapy. I'm so happy I found my therapist. She's an expert in domestic violence and like, she's just been so great. But I had like a really intense therapy session yesterday and I was talking to my mom after and she was like, I think that when you moved back to Connecticut and you like got out of your relationship and your marriage, you were kind of thinking that finding a partner meant that you would be happy and that a partner defined your happiness. But now you're realizing that your happiness is defined as by like what you make it as. And it doesn't have to be a relationship. And I'm learning that. I learned that. It took a while for me to learn that, but like everyone's operational definition of happiness is different and it does not have to include a marriage or a relationship. I want a relationship, but like the relationship with myself is more important than the relationship with somebody else. And I had to go through so many struggles to get there. Like I had to really heal. Especially like, you know, adding the layer of, yes, I am a survivor, but I also have a diagnosed trauma disorder because of my abuse. So here I am like trying to navigate the world again, trying to condition myself and go through the respondent extinction procedure so that I don't have panic attacks in public and to not have panic attacks when like, you know, when I initially started dating, like I couldn't do it because I was having like panic attacks. before I even would go on the dates, because I'm like, what if they turn out to be just like my ex-husband? And I couldn't think like that anymore. And it took a lot of healing, a lot of growth, but I'm definitely in a much stronger place now than I was 3 years ago, for sure.
Well, I'm proud of you. That's
Thank you.
Awesome. No, it does get better. For anyone who is going through any sort of like thing in that regard, it just seems like the be all end all. And you just somehow, like everything that seems impossible, you somehow get through, and like you'd only realize like after the fact, you're like, whoa, I am in a better place. Who even knew? I didn't even realize that was happening along the way, you know?
I just remember like being told, you know, you're never going to like never going to be able to make it on your own. But then like this past year, like just in September, I got promoted at my job, making like so much better money. Like I'm a director of their supervision department. My business is growing, and it's like all these things I didn't think I would accomplish on my own. It's like, I look back and I'm like, if I can go back 3 years ago and tell that girl who was sitting on the couch that couldn't get up because she was afraid of leaving her ex-husband, and she was so skinny because she wasn't eating, and she was just so depressed and not sleeping. I mean, I had 10 days of insomnia before I left my ex-husband, right? So if I can go back and tell her it's going to get better, you can do it, I would fucking do it in a heartbeat.
Yep. You could tell her.
Yeah. It gets better. It really gets better. It really does. It's hard. And I think what's the hard part is like none of my friends are divorced. Like my close friend circle, one of them is married and three of them are single. Actually, two of them are married and three of them are single. So like none of my closest friends are divorced. So like when I was going through it, it was hard because no one really understood what I was going through. So it was like me leaning on other people, especially through Behavior Shorty and my Instagram account, coming into contact with people that also have been through divorce and also survivors of domestic violence has really helped in the healing process. Like we have to lean on each other to help us get through it.
Well, I admire you. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, we have covered a lot of different things. For anyone, if you see anything that we need to know about that's going on Hinge, Bumble, Tinder, any of them, please send it our way. I love seeing the weirder the shit, the better. It makes me kind of cry, but I like it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And with that, you guys, thank you so much for coming on, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
We'll definitely have in the show notes where you can find Carolyn. She also does like great Instagram lives and different things that you can follow. When this episode comes out, I'm sure there'll be newer ones coming out. So I'm not going to announce any specific that are going on at the time of the recording. So thank you. You guys know where you can find us. You can find us on our website, behaviorbitches.com. You can find us on Instagram at Behavior Bitches Podcast, Facebook at Behavior Bitches Podcast. And as always, love ya.
Mean it.
This show was produced by Pretty Easy Podcasts and made possible by listeners like you. If you ever thought of doing your own podcast, please visit PrettyEasyPodcasts.com.